I wonder if you've ever wondered how long it takes for an ex-missionary to become a normal person again. Well, whether you've wondered or not, doesn't really matter, because this afternoon we wanted to try and address this topic.
However, having only been just back in Australia after several years of service overseas, we can tell you that it takes a lot longer than 2.5 months. How much longer? I can't say at the moment, but perhaps next year we can give you an update.
In the meantime, we thought that we'd share just a few examples of some of the dilemmas that we've encountered during our period of readjustment to life here in Australia. I don't know whether you've noticed it or not, but most of the toilets in homes in Australia have a button on the top of the cistern that you push in for it to flush. Now, you probably don't even think about that, but we've been in a country where all the toilets have a button that you lift up to flush. Now you can imagine my distress upon returning to Australia. The very first toilet that I come to that I want to flush, I grab a hold of the button and I rip it up instead of pushing it down, and I break the toilet. It's not a very happy experience.
In African culture, it's considered very impolite to use your left hand when conducting any business whatsoever, in giving or receiving anything. It took us quite a long time to get used to using our right hand and not using our left. But if we made a mistake and used the wrong hand, then we had to ask pardon. So I'm back in Australia, I'm at the checkout, I'm going through holding things and got my bag and my purse, and I'm trying to get the money out, get it into the right hand to hand to the girl. And I do that, but in that, she returns the money, pokes it into my left hand, and I turn around, pardon.
One thing that we never completely got used to while living in Africa was that you can never find change around. Even when you go into the marketplace where all the transactions are done in small denominations, you just can't seem to find any change, no matter what time of the day or night that it is. And so you learn to be very clever and to get a hold of change whenever you can and to squirrel it away so that when you need to buy something next, you will have the right money to give. Because in their culture, it's not up to the shopkeeper to be able to provide change for the customer. It's up to the customer to come along with the right change. And so we become very clever at getting the change and keeping it so that we can use it when we need to. Back in Australia, wouldn't you know it, that habit that I've learnt to acquire during our 6 years overseas, I'm still doing here. And so I'm wandering around here with my pockets bulging, full of change, having trouble keeping my shorts up because of the weight that's involved. You don't need it anymore.
Talk about shopping. I'm overwhelmed at the size of the shopping centres here in Australia. Where we've come from, we only had a local market, which was just dirt. And then the town to the south had, well, supermarkets, two of them. And we thought they were rather great. It was a big treat to go down there and shop. But now coming back here, I find I'm wandering around in a daze in shopping centres, and I oscillate between being absolutely overawed by it, wanting to buy everything I see, and being disgusted at the extravagance of the lifestyle.
After 6 years of learning to drive in a country where the steering wheel's on the wrong side of the car and all the cars drive on the wrong side of the road, we now come back here and we have to readjust to the way things operate in this country. I don't know how many times I've come to the car and opened the door and went to get in and discovered that there's no steering wheel on that side.
And I thought he was being polite.
And having to get around the other side. And then some days I really have to think very, very hard, which side of the road do we drive on in this country? But you know, the real trick is roundabouts. Now you probably haven't even noticed that whenever you come to a roundabout, you always go in a clockwise direction. But when you live in a country where it's left-hand drive, strangely enough, they go anti-clockwise around a roundabout. And so there can sometimes be that momentary dilemma in the mind when you hit a roundabout, which way do I go around? But you know, a very interesting thing about roundabouts too. The French, God bless them, in all their wisdom, they've decided that on a roundabout, all the traffic that is entering the roundabout has right of way, and all the traffic already on a roundabout must stop in order to let them on. Now, if you can work that one out, you're better than I am.
We just came up from Newcastle yesterday and we thoroughly enjoyed our drive up. Just looking at the scenery, drinking in the Australian scene again was wonderful. I loved seeing fat cattle and sheep grazing in green fields. You mightn't think that's so fascinating, but I do, because where we've lived for the last few years, the cattle and the sheep, well, they're more like goats, are dirty and skinny and straggly. They wander the streets of town, they forage in the rubbish along the road for their meals, and then we go along to the butcher and we buy the meat and eat it. It sort of turns you off sinking your teeth into a lovely piece of steak.
I must say that I'm really enjoying the access to communications in the country here in Australia. Imagine farms that actually work. Every time you pick them up, there's a dial tone. And when you dial the number, more times than not, someone answers at the other end. Now that's a real treat for us because we haven't had that luxury. We've often had to spend hours sitting trying to get a line out on the phone. And then perhaps you get a line out but it doesn't connect at the other end, and that's very frustrating for us. And email. Wow, isn't that something here? We had email over there too. But here I can log on, send and receive all my mail, log off about 2 minutes and I'm done. Over in Africa, if you didn't have an hour to set aside to spend on the phone trying to connect with your emails, then it wasn't worth trying. And that was on a good day when the phones were actually working.
Hey, isn't it great having 24-hour electricity? I mean, it's always there whenever you want it, at the flick of a switch. All day and even all night. What a treat. One thing I'm finding really hard, though, is knowing when to go to bed. Over in Africa, the generated power went off at 9:30, so I knew it was time for bed. Over here, all of a sudden, it's 11 or 11:30, and I think, oh, goodness, I must turn off the light and go to bed.
The other day, we had the Telstra technician come to change our phone over. And he arrived at the door and I greeted him very warmly and I shook his hand and I asked him how he was going, and he had this terrible startled look on his face and it pulled me up short, and I realised that I shouldn't go through all the greeting routine that we're used to in Africa, because over there, whenever you meet anyone, whether you know them or not, you inquire after their health, you ask after their wife, their children, their parents, the rest of their family, how the village is going, anything else that's relevant. And so this poor guy nearly got the full treatment as I had a momentary lapse.
We just moved into our own home in Newcastle. I'm constantly asked, how is it to finally be together again? We've got three sons. My answer is constantly, it's great. It's just great. You see, it's been a long time since we've lived together as a family, just on our own. But somewhere along the line, something's changed. Somewhere, when we weren't looking, these three boys grew into men, and we're now a household of adults. That's taking quite a bit of getting used to, because I can no longer say, you do it because I'm the mum, and I say so. It doesn't work with grown-ups. While I'm enjoying all these challenges and just re-establishing, getting back together again, I'm finding that I'm missing the kids back in Africa. I had at times up to 20 kids or more to look after, so my days were very full and I often longed for some peace and quiet. But now that I've got that peace and quiet, I'm wondering where they've all gone.
So how long do you think it'll take us to become normal again?